But an attached family man wants his family members carrying him in a great procession even after his death. And although he will not be able to see how the procession goes, he still desires that his body be taken gorgeously in the procession. Then he is happy without even knowing where he has to go when he leaves his body for the next life. Verse 16. In that diseased condition, when eyes bulge due to pressure of air from within, as glands become congested with mucus, he has difficulty breathing, and upon exhaling and inhaling, he produces a sound like a rattling within the throat, no purport. Text 17. In this way, he comes under the clutches of death and lies down, surrounded by unending friends and relatives, and although he wants to speak to them, he no longer can because he is under the control of time. Report. For formality's sake, when a man is lying in his deathbed, and relatives come to him, and sometimes they cry very loudly, addressing the dying man, "Oh, my father, oh, my friend," or "Oh, my husband," in that pitiable condition, the dying man wants to speak with them and instruct them of his desires, but because he is fully under control of the time factor, death, he cannot express himself, and that causes him inconceivable pain. He is already in a painful condition because of disease. As glands and throat are choked up with mucus, he is already in a very difficult position, and when he is addressed by his relatives in that way, his grief increases. Who wants to buy one of those? Srimad Bhagavatam's directly coming from the personality of Godhead is directly written by the literary incarnation of Krishna, Srila Vyasadeva, and spoken by a perfectly realized Srimad Goswami, heard by a perfect recipient Maharaj Pariksit. That the wisdom of Srimad Bhagavatam is infallible. Important messages of Tattva Sundara, it's a Pavushaya Shabda, it's not from a, poet or literature created by a person, not that kind of literature. So although these elements, may not be each and every one in the same degree for every dying man who is attached, that the elements are there, lesser or greater degree, how much one's eyes bulge, and how much mucus is choking his throat and his glands and so forth and so on, through the whole drama that's being portrayed, maybe more or less, the picture of a miserable condition due to material attachment. We were discussing yesterday evening, the 22nd Avenue, the fact repeated over and over again by our founder Acharya that the root cause of all suffering is ignorance. And the essence of ignorance is to ignore Krishna. Ignore our relationship with Krishna, turn our back to Krishna. Bhagya Mukha Jeev in Jiva Goswami's language. Turning our attention away from Krishna. That's ignoring Krishna, or ignorance, and the root of all suffering is that. We get a body to assist, facilitate, effort, fruitive activities, trying to enjoy apart from Krishna. Varieties, layers upon layers upon layers of misery inflicted by that ignorance. There's so many ways that our scriptures and aiding the scriptures or Acharya's commentaries describe this. This is simply one of them. Shukadeva Goswami speaking. Or he's narrating the discussion between Vidura and Maitreya. But, you know, transcendental knowledge is an antidote for ignorance. But the antidote for ignorance, being transcendental knowledge, is insufficient unless it awakens devotion to Krishna. It's a small point, but it's a critical point. Knowledge is insufficient. So we can know all these things and still be attached. The discussion here is Kapila Dev describing the Devahuti, which is being narrated by Maitreya to Vidura, which was narrated by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Pariksit, so that the story within the story within the story. And Devahuti's question, going back to chapter 25, this is chapter 30, he's still answering that question. Such a big question. A lot of different approaches to addressing the question of how to not be so bewildered by excessive attachment to family. Maybe you're familiar a little bit from the Amrita, where Prabhupada describes it was very difficult for him to give up family life. If it's difficult for Prabhupada to give up family life, then what about ordinary folks? Attachment is affection and attachment on the platform of the temporary is very strong, because we identify with it, that's me. And to let go of the sense of need, and what are you left with? The fear. Or impersonalism. So the antidote is not just knowledge, but knowledge that gives rise to bhakti. That's what's essential. The bhakti principle. Knowledge may assist bhakti to be nourished. That's really the function and purpose of knowledge. Not just knowledge detached from Gyana Vairagya. Not scaring people away from family life. It's the affinity may be there for the soul being embodied and seeing to the demands of the body, including the companionship that comes from family life. How do we not forget Krishna in that circumstance? Well, this is helping us. Don't go down that path of forgetting Krishna, because here's what it looks like. The description of adverse fruitive activities. So this is the concluding section of an attached person's life. And the normal functions of the body start to break down. And so one can't do the activities of enjoyment or having happiness with family members. My thoughts are going as I was reading this actually, of a particular family, devotee family, whose parents are not devotees, they're staunch materialists, religious. Staunch materialists, and what's being described here is what's happening in their parents' life. Things are breaking down, and harsh words, and cruel spirit, and mean behavior, expecting the family members are going to gather around them. Serve them while they're speaking harshly. Be spirited and accusatory speech. Put down. But there's no shelter in Krishna, in relationship with Krishna. That the modes of nature are completely in control, and there's a mix, and sometimes more like this and sometimes more like that, because the modes are competing for supremacy. But in all circumstances, whatever the modes are doing, there's forgetfulness of Krishna. So how is forgetfulness of Krishna going to be brought to the position of remembrance of Krishna through association of devotees and hearing and chanting about the words of Krishna? But part of it is, there's the consequence if you don't. We discussed this a few days back. This Saikishya Upanishad. Here's how to live your life. Here's what it looks like. Here's the benefits. And if you don't, here's the consequence. So this is the consequences section. And despite all the difficulties, starting with text 14, that were described in the previous verses, some the person, the foolish person, remains attached because that's all they have. They can't let go of all that they have. The only thing that they have is this affinity for matter. So they stay. And those persons who once maintain oneness, and this, maybe it's nice, but it's from the Vedic point of view, an embarrassing situation where one is now maintained by those who one maintained. It's something like Dhritarashtra and that chapter 13 of Canto 1, where Vidura is advising him to leave. Very family members who you, your son, is inspiring to kill in so many different ways, they're now maintaining you, having no shame. Eating scraps of food from the plate of Bhima. And destroying your son. Having no shame, having no sense of honor, dignity. I mean, speaking that way because Dhritarashtra is proud and shame on you. So, rather than the Vedic picture is when that stage comes, you gracefully leave. Then chapter 13, there's three different stages of those who leave. And one who leaves out of disgust, one who leaves to achieve a higher spiritual position, and those that are fully transcendentalists, Anurama personalities. They don't stay because they're not attached to the circumstance. They're not seeking for something, they're just showing by example a life of complete detachment from the temporary. Something similar to what Rishabhadev did. And others that are setting to proper standard. But Prabhupada's comments say is Vidura did not encourage a relationship for the Narottama or the Uttama position because it wasn't capable. He was averse to Krishna, or took many behaviors in support of his son who was averse to Krishna, who was implicated in his son's conduct, so that Lot was there to go to the higher position, but at least detachment, sleep. And even a time when Yudhisthira and the others don't even know that you're leaving, just lie right down the dead of the night. So when you wake up in the morning, you're already gone, because you tell them how you'll be. They'll say, no, you can't leave, and then you're bound by that call of affection. Just leave. Well, pretty intense. But the principle of, at a certain stage, family duties are done, and you just leave the circumstance of family duties. I was having a discussion It's kind of a sociology comment. Was having a discussion while in line for having lunch with Shadow in a situation where across from me was, I won't mention names, but a very nice early couple, Gujarati couple, who they're, you know, approaching 60. He's 62, I think, and she's the exercises. But Vanaprastha. So I asked them, what's your Vanaprastha plan? And, you know, there isn't a clear model in our society. We haven't matured to that stage yet. That, you know, although repeatedly the presentation is made at the age of 50, Vanaprastha, and specifically as go to the forest, so, or whatever the other options are. Go on pilgrimage to the holy places, or take up a position of service within a temple or in connection with a temple or something. I feel a little frustrated in that this is a fantastic couple. Now, what's the model? How, what are they supposed to do? Kind of smash their head and figure it out. He's very well read in the scriptures. I suggested that he write, do a specific research on what Vanaprastha is. Research it. Write a little essay on what Vanaprastha is, according to Prabhupada's teaching, in practical terms. Not the art of the forest and where tree bark, but in practical terms, what is a Vanaprastha to do for the benefit of yourself as well as the benefit of other Vanaprasthas? So now back to being a lady, they can't do that. So they're in this embarrassing, compromised position. And then, disease, dyspepsia, loss of appetite, eating only small morsels of food, invalid, can't work anymore. So what is the mind of such a person? And then others to see that individual frustrated. They feel sympathy and they feel bad. Or they feel this person is worthless. They can't do anything anymore. They're unproductive. Like the previous verse described, the oxen is no longer productive. Burden. Seeing old people, simply burden, not virtue. And if they're not, if the Christian consciousness is lacking, it's not, you know, what wisdom can they impart? You know, foolishness. It just perpetuates the darkness of ignorance. It's not really a great asset for the progressive values of society or the other family members, whoever they want to contact with them. It's just layers and varieties of darkness. Very sad condition. Forgetful solution. Prabhupada's comment about making a plan for a gorgeous arrangement for the procession of the body being taken with flowers and ceremony and pomp. The person who did this is gone. They left their body, you know, wanting to see that happen. But they don't even know where they've gone. It's a sequence. And perpetuating ignorance in the next generation. So they want that for themselves too. Really sad. Darker and darker. Body effects. And then being unable to speak when relatives come and lying in that condition and saying, oh my father, oh my friend, oh my husband, crying and wanting to say, here's what I'd like you to do, that can't even speak. You would feel further frustration and pain. And that's Whereas the devotees, one of the first times I went through the experience of a devotee departing, he also couldn't speak. His whole body was without sensation. His whole muscular system didn't work. And the only thing that he could do, he could move his finger. So he had kirtan, and he was, his finger was moving with the kirtan. His mind was fine. So his body didn't respond at all. Couldn't smile or laugh or say anything. But the kirtan was, his finger was moving. He was, that was saving him during the kirtan. And he was lying down in the bed, and over here was a picture of Prabhupada, and over there was a picture of Govinda, and you could see his eyes moving from, he couldn't move his head, but his eyes were moving from one picture to the other. So it was actually glorious. He couldn't communicate, but he could, find words, but he could, the reciprocation was there, the connection between the soul and Krishna and the devotees and the world. The spiritual connection was there. And this departure was glorious. It was a celebration. It was missing the person's physical availability. But what a glorious departure compared to a godless one. There's no permanence in attachments to temporary, although we're permanent. As described at the beginning of the chapter, that the time factor that acts upon the soul works one way if there's forgetfulness of Krishna, another way if there's remembrance of Krishna. The eternal servitude spirit of the soul is natural. It's others. So to be continued. And Krishna, any discussion? Cruising topic.
Yes, Kumar. So actually, I had a question about attachment, because the thing is, when we're trying to be aspiring devotees, we get attached to devotees but then how that, I understand on one hand that's different from attachment to, say, family or non-devotees, because Krishna is at the center and it's in the mood of service.
Yeah.
But at the same time, from our end, how do we make sure it's actually on the soul level and from the heart, not from the mind?
Well, you can assume that there's a mix, because we're not feeling that. So it's not, how can you be sure that it's on the soul platform? You can be sure that it's a mix. And by training, by the discipline of the discriminating capacity, the intelligence is the discriminating instrument, try to see how much there is appreciation for the bhakti, the quality of attachment for Krishna that is there. Knowing that there's the other kind of affinity as well, I know I like this person because something, something. But direct the intelligence by good training to the devotional spirit of the person. And appreciate that, be attached to that. Cultivate that. And then what's behind that one is our own attachment to Krishna. You can't do that in a sustainable way just by hearing you say, oh, I'm supposed to do this instead of that. That's your own attachment to Krishna. Your own affinity for Krishna will then guide the intelligence to go in that direction. And until that happens, so we become more attached to Krishna, then the attachment to the devotees is going to be no more on the material side and less on the spiritual side. But there's a potency in the association of devotees, even if it's more on the material side and less on the spiritual side, and that is they're carrying Krishna bhakti. It's a visual image that works for me is supposing there's a fire that, like a campfire or something, and it burned, and there's just some coals that are kind of glowing red, but not flame coming from it. So take a stick or some instrument to move the coals together, and fan, and flames come out of it. But like that, we are, all of us, less than qualified. There's a mix of spiritual and material affinity. So bring the bhakti factor together and fan it by hearing the chanting, and flame comes up. We can diminish the material affinity part by hearing the chanting and devotional activities together. You know, in a conscious way, we're doing this because, not just we want to have a party, we want to have some social interaction. We want to awaken Krishna bhakti by our association with one another. We like to go there with that purpose. And that's what happens. Then your own affinity for Krishna becomes stronger and the affinity for the material side diminishes in our human interactions with devotees. Same fire Krishna consciousness to the chanting process. And direct the intelligence towards the spiritual dimension of the affinity that we feel for others. Seeing the body that's within and appreciating that. And nourishing that, so being a good sangha for that person who wants to be with Krishna, so then we try to be a servant to that person by our example and by our words and speech. Nourish the bhakti. And then their bhakti grows and then we benefit from that. Even the body just grew by that good association. We benefit. It's the servant. So just gradually move the fulcrum towards that side by our, how we see one another and how we interact with one another. And devotional principles.
Guru Maharaj, it seems like some services that devotees participate in, like family life or working, are meant for dovetailing.
Devotees that are married and have a family and have a job.
Yeah, it seems like that's more of like a dovetailing.
More of what you mean?
Dovetailing.
Dovetailing. So, yeah, it is. The same as our person. You know, we're social beings, we want companionship.
Can an aspiring devotee become, can it become complete devotional service, or does one give those things up?
Can dovetailing take one to the position of pure devotional service, is your question?
And can those services, like family life or working, can they become complete devotional
service? That's not only if it can, that's what it's meant to do. Progressively. And whether we'll get there or not depends upon whether we want to get there or not. We may just want to be comfortable. But if, you know, we may want to get to pure devotional service. Within, you know, here's what Bhakti Siddhanta says, you can read it, it's in text, the purport of text 61 from Brahma Samhita. With you just use the language dovetail, he also uses the language gona bhakti, and he says, those things for which we have material affinity, if joined with the direct activities of bhakti, they have as purifying effect as the direct activities of bhakti. of course, the intention behind those activities has to be not, you know, just I have now a concession for doing what I want to do. But the one I put this natural inclination, what I dream to do, then you dedicate this to Krishna, joining very carefully and attentively with the worship practices. That's purifying, according to Bhakti Siddhanta. This is according to Krishna's teachings to Arjuna. That's what we're doing. And then, is that right?